a lot at the moment, but there's something about looking at the circumstances around us but not being caught up in the circumstances around us. And we're going to hear from some people about how they follow Jesus and what that looks like for them. What I'm hoping and expecting is that each of us will get something out of that and we'll go, oh, that's amazing. I didn't know that you did that to follow Jesus. Or really, you have that struggle and problem too. But when Abraham was called to be a father of nations, he was 100 years old and his wife could not bear children, which is why she left. So it's God's great sense of humour, isn't it, to ask you to do something that is actually impossible in the natural realm. It says about him, in hope he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations, as he'd been told, so should your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since it was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. That says when he considered it, so he thought about it. He thought, you're having a laugh, God, because I can't do this physically. It's not possible. And it says, no distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced he was able to do what he had promised. So for some of us, I think that God's saying, one of the things he's going to say today is, look at the circumstances around you, but then lift your eyes past them to me, because your circumstances aren't your destiny and the end, because what God has for you is eternal and what you're going through isn't. I'd like to call my first witness this afternoon. Gordon, are you happy to come up? Sorry, for those of you that don't know me, that have never met me, my name's Jared. Good afternoon. And I'm part of the leadership team here. And today we're just going to interview a few people about what it's like to be a follower of Jesus for them. Because we're all different. Some are more different than others. I'm not looking at anyone at that point. And that's okay. And we've got a lot to learn. So I'm going to ask Gordon three questions. And we're going to benefit from the wisdom that pours forth from his lips.
High expectations, sir.
Oh, of which there's a lot. I know that there is. So firstly, you're a father.
I am indeed.
You're a husband.
I am.
You're a worker.
I am.
And you're a Christian.
I am indeed.
That's great. That'll help this a lot. So what does it look like in your life, as all those things, to be a follower of Jesus?
What does it look like to be a follower of Jesus in my life? Well, I suppose, number one, I'm here. I'll explain what that kind of means. But when I became a follower, there was a definite change of thinking within my mind. I could be quite an angry person, and I'll go on to that further. I also was a very selfish person, very self-centered. And when God came in, he changed my way of thinking. Obviously, I realized that I was loved, which was extremely important, which enabled me to be less selfish, recognizing that I was loved. It also allowed me to stop my thought process, which was leading me... Well, basically, I'd be in prison if I wasn't a Christian. But, I mean, there's a couple of occasions where the church has saved me from going into prison, which I'm very, very thankful for. Well, I say the church, but God saved me, and I definitely would be there. So that would mean I never would have met my wife, Rita. I never would have had the three wonderful children that I have, Caleb, Jed, and Iona. And so I was able to recognize, I could be here. I could spend time with the people of God. The people of God allowed me to have a confidence. I was very insecure as well. I'm a very insecure person, easily knocked, and God gave me a confidence. And God uses people to do that. So how that has worked out has been obviously spending time with the people of God, and God has brought people across my path. One of the very first people that I met was my home group leader, his name was Ian, and he was a man who spent a lot of time in prayer. And I recognize that now. I recognize from all those years ago. I was 25 when I first became a Christian, and I'm almost 50 now. 50 next year. Dreadful, 50. Anyway, 25 years, where's this gone? But anyway, he installed something in me, and I spent time with a lot of men who spent a lot of time praying. And again, that's something that God has put into me as well. And they're also men of the word, and that's something that they installed into me. And that has allowed my changed my thinking, allowed me to, again, I'm sorry if I'm repeating myself because I get quite nervous. I was speaking to Mason and saying I get quite nervous up front as well, so this is me shaking. These men allowed me to get into the Word, which allowed me to change my thinking, which allowed me to open myself. There's men here who spent a number of years trying to get to know me, and I can be very, very cagey, and they've spent a long time, and I greatly appreciate that. And in the other churches as well that I've been part of, men have had to spend an awful long time, and women, don't get me wrong, to get to know me. I'm amazed that I even was able to open up to Rita and meet Rita, my wife. But God allowed that and enabled that. And going back to the prayer side, that's something, I guess that's one of the
other
questions.
That's my next question.
Yeah.
Nicely linked in.
Can I quit there?
Nicely linked in. So the second question is, because we'll all do outwork our following of Jesus practically differently, what is it like? What kind of things do you do practically to be a follower of Jesus in your life?
Well, the Word is an extremely important part. God practically enabled me to be able to read. When I left school, I never read a book. I hated reading at school because I was partially dyslexic, and because it was never diagnosed, I always felt treated like I was dumb. And so reading was not a fun thing to do. But God transformed that, and it was one of the very first things he did, enabled me to have a desire to read. So when I became a Christian, from leaving school to becoming a Christian, that was the first time I ever picked up a book. Obviously, I picked up the Bible, but also other literature, Christian literature. I'm not somebody who likes to read for fun, but this is practical. I'm not somebody who likes to read for fun, but I like to read for a purpose, and I have to have a purpose. But God gave me that purpose, and that was to find out more about him, which has allowed me to you get into the Word, but also has allowed me to discover who he is and who I am in him. And it's been really significant. That's how practically I've been working that out. And then the prayer. because of the men of God that God's put in my, across my path and have spent time with me, some of them almost like fathers to me, that's really instilled a desire to want to pray. I don't particularly go around saying it or praying it out at church and stuff, but I take it as a real privilege and it's really important and significant to go out. I mean, I do it in the morning. I go out in the morning, I go for a walk and I pray. It's not an effort on my part for some people to get up early in the morning. It's an effort for me. It's not. I naturally wake up early, and I go for a walk.
Can you define early for us, whilst people are listening?
Yeah, about 5 o'clock, I get up and I go for a walk. I make my coffee. I like to have my cup of coffee. I've got to have my coffee. I normally have it with trousers, and I've got my cup of coffee, and I go for a walk, and I'm praying.
Yeah.
But it's really important. If I don't do that, I'm a very grumpy person. You don't want to see me when I get back. First thing in the morning, if I haven't been out, don't cross Dad's path. And if there's no coffee and I haven't been out, just don't go there. Praying, I take it as a real, it's just really installed into me. I find it a real privilege to be praying for people, and obviously praying for my family and everything. But it really puts things on my heart. I don't go out with a list. Not one of these list people. Can't do that. If you try and organise Rita and I, anybody's tried it, well, you've tried and failed. If you want me to turn up and organise, then that doesn't work. But what God does for me is he puts people on my mind, and he puts things on my mind, and I just pray them through, of which, there's a number of people here that I've been praying for quite regularly. He just keeps putting them on my mind, so I just go, okay, and I do pray into it. So, does that answer the question?
That answers the question. I personally benefited from your prayers. I know that probably a lot of people have also, being out there earlier in the morning, so thank you very much. Because you haven't finished yet.
Oh, dear.
This is the question where I think that we can learn the most. That was good. And if anyone wants to join Gordon praying at 5 o'clock in the morning, please feel free to do so.
Yeah.
6 o'clock is the earliest that we go. But what's the hardest thing? What do you find really hard about being a follower of Jesus?
The hardest thing, and I've already partly said that, is recognising how God sees me and believing that. Because I suppose I say I was not And I've really struggled with that over the years, and it's continuing today. But God has enabled me to be confident in who he's made me to be. So being confident in who he made me to be and being myself, I find that I still struggle with that. And I continually to learn from God and from the people who speak into my life.
Very good. Great. Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you for your honesty. So what we're going to do is we'll have another person, and then we'll probably stop for a minute, and we're just going to pray. And if you hear something, can you think, maybe I have some challenges with that, and I really need to, or would like to, really believe what God says about me? Then we'll pray for those things. Okay. So, Tina. It's not a competition, but you've got slightly more larger clap than Gordon. I don't know why.
Maybe I'm more nervous.
So, whilst Darth Vader's over there, same question. The force is strong with this one.
It's my husband trying to put me off.
So the first question, what does your look like as a, hang on a minute, let's just recap. You're a mum, you're married, you work, you've got kids. Anything else I'm missing there? Okay. As that person, what does life for you as a follower of Jesus look like?
Very busy. I guess my day is very, very different. I think the challenge that I have is I never really know when I get up in the morning what my day is going to look like a lot of the time and who I'm going to meet. And so I find that I really need to try and get my day before God before I even start, because otherwise it all has a habit of going very wrong.
Do you have coffee as well?
No, I have tea generally.
Okay, coffee, tea, right, okay. See, there is differences.
But generally I pray before I have tea, to be fair.
Okay.
But
there is life before tea and coffee. Yeah.
Sorry, that's better? Sorry. I think the challenge is that particularly now, I've got one at school and one who's just starting nursery. There's lots of different people and different groups I meet, and there's play groups, but people are very different. I see different people every day. There's no kind of consistency. And so it's quite hard to build those relationships, and it can be quite lonely, I think, being a follower of Jesus, being a mum at home. Mm. And it's kind of having to kind of find God in that kind of loneliness and emptiness, really.
Okay, that's very honest and good, thank you. What then practically, how would you practically cope with that, and what do you do to keep yourself going as a follower of Jesus?
Pray a lot. I give a lot of the sort of more mundane things I've learnt a long time, very, very slowly. I'm not very bright at these things, but like I've kind of finally worked out that actually if I give each bit to God as it goes along, even the really small things or things that seem really small that can be really trivial but that actually can make a really big difference. I mean, even just today, for example, we were having a little bit of an issue with our neighbours, and I sort of gathered the girls together and we prayed about it, and then like even just like a couple of hours later it was like God answered those prayers, and it's just teaching me again and again and again that actually if we bring things to him all the time, he is more than happy to answer in that time and bring it to him, rather than just kind of stirring up and getting more and more frustrated and angry and upset that things aren't going the way I want them to.
Brilliant. And I've written down earlier on, because I knew that someone would say it, so I want to commend Gordon and you, because I've observed this in both of your lives. There's a story in Matthew, it's in Matthew 25. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over little, I'll set you over much." So what you're saying about daily decisions and the little things, praying daily, and God's not just interested in the massive decisions, but day by day, the little stuff that goes on, and then being faithful in that, God then often gives us opportunity to do the bigger things, and it's it kind of opens up a bigger picture for us to do that. So thank you for that. And then the tough question, what is hardest and the most difficult thing about being a follower of Jesus for you?
I think for me it's taking it beyond my personal relationship with God and how I then build that into my life with other people and how I get other people and witness to them and how I do that, particularly with the kind of fluctuating relationships that I have and the wide range of relationships, to know really clearly which one God wants me to focus on and how to develop those. That's the bit I really struggle with, I think, and how to actually start, because quite a lot of the time I'm only sort of chatting to people for 2 or 3 minutes at a time.
Okay. Cool. Anything else that you want to add that I haven't asked?
I was ready to clap.
Oh, I thought you were going to ask another question. You want to clap? Okay, clap. Thank you very much. I wrote down a whole list of people's names, and that's Richard Nixon. God. Oh dear.
I had to walk slowly there, didn't I?
I'm hoping that we're learning something from each other and about each other as we're going. You are?
Yes.
Great, excellent. One of us, that's brilliant. Two of us, because I am too. This is
Don't
Richard.
Worry, Helen, it'll get worse now. You'll learn nothing in the next couple of minutes.
This is the lovely Richard Nixon. He's a father, he's a husband, he works really hard. What else? Anything else I need to add?
Die-hard Burnley fan.
A die-hard Burnley fan. And he's still managed to get... And Jesus still managed to save him. It's amazing. So, first question to you, number one, is in a blind date kind of style. What does your life look like as a follower of Jesus?
First of all, Gordon and Tina, absolutely brilliant. Got a whole lot out of that. To me, it means you're different. It means because, for whatever reason, God has singled us out. It means that in whatever situation you're in, you're called to think differently, to be different, and to have a certain perspective on life. That said... it's like me with my glasses. I was the first kid in school to wear glasses, spotted when I couldn't read the hymn numbers on the board in church. So thank you, God. And sometimes it's like having my glasses on and everything's in focus and you know, right, yeah, we know where we're going and everything's clear in life. And then sometimes it's like, you know, this is very comfortable for me because I can't see the expressions. I can just about see yours, Jared. And sometimes it goes like that. So, I think that's what it means. Whether you're at work or whether you're with friends, you have a certain view on the world. And, God calls you to see things and to act in a different way.
Brilliant. That's the kingdom of God in action, basically, is what you're saying. That's fantastic. Okay, and so then practically, when you're out of focus and you can't see what's going on, what kind of things do you do to enable you to keep being a follower of Jesus?
So two things, and thank you.
I'm taking notes here.
Thank you for sending the questions on. First of all, I pray, and I'm not very structured, and I'm not very organised, and I am a tea-first person, and I don't get up at 5 o'clock. So I'll tend to pray as and when the moment arrives, which is usually as I drive to work, which, as many of you will know, is in Manchester, 100 miles away, up the motorways, most of which are limited to 50 miles an hour these days, so you've got a lot of time to pray. Don't pray with your eyes closed. Not good on the motorway.
That's it.
But, and that's always good. The other thing is, whilst I'm very, very comfortable doing this sort of thing, as most of you will have noticed, I am deeply uncomfortable having those little one-to-one conversations with people about faith and about finding God. So I get a bit embarrassed about the serving thing because everybody says, oh, it's really great, it's really good. And I think it's great and good. But one of the reasons for me that I do that is that it's in a way that I can do something practical and I'm not having that awkward man-to-man one-to-one spiritual conversation, which would be an absolute nightmare for me. So the serving thing is a kind of it's a bit of a coping mechanism.
That's great.
But it means you get to have conversations that kind of start on normal things and can kind of go anywhere, and you meet with people where they are.
Brilliant. Okay, great. That's fantastic. And it's so good that we have lots of different people and a variety of different people, because what you're not comfortable doing, someone else will be comfortable doing. What they're not comfortable doing, another person will be. So brilliant. Thank you very much. Anything else that you want to add or say that I haven't?
I think you had a third question.
Okay, just checking that you were listening. So what do you find really hard about being a follower of Jesus?
So I hadn't worked out the answer to this, because it's in my nature to be very last minute about things. Thankfully, Julia isn't last minute about things and said to me, have you looked at those questions that Jared's got? And I said, sort of. And then I said, well, there's this third one about what do you find quite hard? And she said, well, what you find quite hard about it is that you prefer to lead than follow, which I do. You know, the sort of following I like doing, following Burnley, following you two, it's very, you know, it's at a distance. And so, you know, my nature is like we were at the airport earlier seeing Adam off on a flight, and it was like, I know my way through here. And I mean, you know, I've been here before.
I don't know anyone else like that, yeah.
So I do, you know, that kind of just submitting and kind of letting go and knowing that Jesus is in charge is really hard. And then I think, if I'm going to be very honest and very frank, I don't come from an evangelical background. I have faith and doubt as two sides of the same coin, and I have plenty of doubt, and I find it quite challenging sometimes. You know, I can have a sort of little moment when I'm stood here or wherever thinking, you know, I'm not on this spiritual high like other people. And those are some of the moments that I find tricky.
That is brilliant. Very honest. Thank you very much. Great. You can go and sit down. Thank you. So good. We've got two or three more people, but I just want to... I've asked Adam to come up and play something on his strings without breaking any more, please.
I'll try.
I know it's a challenge. Do you find, Richard, though, that Julia helps you to remember those things? You were saying at the end, and she's kind of helped you with those things.
More than helped.
Yeah, I find that as well. Our wives are great at reminding us the things that we don't know, aren't they? Thank you. Love that. So there's a few things that stood out there that maybe God wants us to respond to whilst we're going to sing a song. And the opportunity is here, really, just to have someone stand with you and pray, or just to submit these things to Jesus. So the things that I wrote down were anger, insecurity, loneliness. Really about prayer. I felt quite challenged by everybody there that prayer is a big part of what they do to remain as a follower of Jesus. Being faithful in the small things. That's one that I find hard, is consistently doing those things and pressing into God. For a day I can do things, but after a day it's quite hard. The sharing your faith, having those one-to-one conversations, the outward mission, finding people to do that with, in the way to do it, or having the courage or boldness to do it, and submitting to God and letting go. And so I think, bearing in mind, Sue, you said something earlier on about somebody that was probably in that similar situation, riding at the moment in a safe environment, but God has something for them to freedom in, to be out into a bigger picture where he wants to do something in them or to use them for something. So that kind of fits in with that as well. So you have to sing. We're going to sing a song. If you want to respond to any of those, we're just going to do this for like 4 or 5 minutes now, worship. And if you want to respond to any of those and have someone stand with you and pray, we're going to do that. And then we're going to come back in for another few quick interviews after that. Please feel free to stand if you want to stand. Keep yourselves awake if you need to sit down because it's really boring. Please feel free to do that as well. That's okay.
Like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded.
we're surrounded, and his commanding officer said to him, "Son, you're marine, you're supposed to be surrounded." And it can be like that in life sometimes, because of all the, a lot of things that we've heard. Sometimes life is so tough, so challenging, you think, "I don't want to get up and do another day." And that's just why there's other people here that struggle to get out of bed, and I have in the past also. So day by day, just getting up and getting out of bed can be a victory for some people. And I just want to sing this again. This is, there's two lines in the song, and the two lines are,
"This is how I fight my battles."
Yeah.
"It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you."
So they're not hard words, even I can get them. Did you all hear that? Cool, so we're just going to sing that again for a minute. And just if you feel like there might be some people that you're surrounded, and you would appreciate someone standing with you in that to say, "Come to get out of this, please." And you'd like to pray, then stick your hand up in the air and someone's going to stand with you and pray. You don't have to respond to "Let me look good." I don't mind making a fool of myself. I've got no reputation to lose. So, fantastic if you want to, and if you don't, that's also okay. So if anything that we've said or anything that's come up, you're going to respond, have someone standing in front, brilliant. We're going to sing that one more time, and then we're going to just move on to the last bit. Okay?
This is how I fight my battles.
And your name is?
John.
John is visiting today, but I just wanted to bring a contribution around being surrounded.
Normally, if you visit, you keep quiet, shut up for the next 6 weeks. I just had a couple of visions with, not just, but one recently, one a little while back, but they're relevant to being, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Being surrounded. I've been surrounded many, many times in my life. And the vision was of a weak man, a young lad, actually. And he was surrounded, these ants were coming in from him. He was surrounded from all directions. And the only, his only way out was to fly up in worship and praise. And the one I had, and that really is an answer. And the other one I had, 2 minutes, I've had 1 minute. The other one was, I had very recently, I was thrown out of an aeroplane without a parachute. And the Lord was in this, he'd throw me out without a parachute. And I was determined I was going to survive. I had my hands out. For some reason, I was able to fly a little bit, and I was shooting here and there, huge speeds, trying to break my fall. And I looked up. This is the moral of the story. And I was trying so hard not to die. And I couldn't slow down, though. That was the trouble. I looked up, and there was a skylark singing, staying aloft so easily, singing. And he was staying aloft, singing praises so sweetly to God. And I thought, yeah, that's it, really. Got it?
Think so. Think so. Thank you. That was a vision, right? Nobody really pushed you out of an airplane. Okay, because I thought for a minute the way you were telling it that was actually true. I was getting a little bit scared. Okay. I've got two more people that... don't be offended if I asked you and then I run out of time. So... Yeah. Awesome.
Because it just hit me in the same way. So thank you so much.
Good.
Because it's brought me such hope.
Yeah.
I've just brought him back today. I haven't
really until this. We've all got this pair of, if we are, if we feel surrounded and depressed and down, we have all been given this pair of wings. I've recently just seen a wonderful pair of wings the Lord has given.
That's brilliant. Isn't God good to connect people, to bring things to... That's just amazing that he's reaffirmed that to you. We'll continue to stand and pray with you, Annette. as well. Unfortunately, we have to stop there and go and collect our kids. I was going to carry on, so sorry to those of you that said yes and prepared, but we haven't got to. It's been really helpful for me to hear how you outwork being a follower of Jesus and to have observed it in your life up until now, but also to see the practical kind of stuff you do. The stuff you find hard, actually, for me, is the most helpful as well, because there's lots that I find hard, so it's good to hear that other people have some challenges too, just to reassure me. If you've got kids that are out there, please go and sign them out and pick up your kids, or in here, and if you want some of mine, let me know. That's it. We're back here again next week. Thank you so much for coming. Please keep praying for Ian, and please keep praying for Karen for their healing. Thank you.